Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Karma Kitty Hour with Joyce Parmalee. Who's me? I am also on Facebook. Look for Karma Kitty. It's the black kitty living in Stuart, Florida. Please press the like button and feel free to leave comments or questions. I'd like to do a big shout out to Dean Piper of W4CY Internet Radio for having us on the Women for Women Network. And also a shout out to Drew, our very own DJ Wizard.
Woo! Woo! That's right. That's right. I'm giving myself a round of applause. Yeah!
Who is our engineer running the show for us this evening? Call in to 561-422-4365 or Skype in at W4WN Radio with your questions and comments. Now, tonight, for this show, we're having Tom Cavanaugh on as our guest, and his talk is about mending the wounded learner. Okay, and also he has his site, okay, which is www.newtrainingstrategies.com. And if you go in the chat room, you will see that as well. Okay. Hey, Tom, how we doing tonight?
Fine, Joyce. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Just running around all day. What is supposed to be an hour seems to have lapsed into half an hour. So it's been a busy day.
Well, I think that happens for most of us. As we get caught up in our daily routines, time seems to fly by. There seems to be a whole lot more chores to do than there is time to do them in.
Oh, I know. I know. And one of the things you're going to help us with also, now you have an accelerated learning program, which is NLP, Nancy Learning, P for program. What does that stand for?
NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming.
Okay. All right. I think I prefer NLP. It's a lot. Yeah. Say that 10 times fast. But yes, NLP is a lot easier to say. I was really fascinated by that map. That you sent me on the email. Now, that's on the website, too?
No, actually, this the mind map that I provided for you is not on the website. It was utilized as the notes for the NLP Mindfest, which I was a guest of Paul Sheely and Learning Strategies Corporation back in September.
Okay. Well, I think that mind map is absolutely fantastic.
Well, thank you. I think I'll put it up on the website tonight when we're done.
Yeah, it is. I think it's just really, really great. Now, I know a lot of us have problems like focusing. Okay, and it's not because we're not interested in a subject. Okay, it's I'm just going to throw myself out there. I love astrology, okay, and I know about it peripherally, okay, and I would like to learn more about it, but I just can't seem to sit myself down and crack the book, you know?
Sure, and one of the main problems that most people have in focusing when they're reading especially, mm-hmm. and most specifically when in reading, because we're taught to learn one word at a time. We read one word at a time. Mm-hmm. By the time we get through the end of the sentence, after we're done interpreting each word so we understand what it is, we
right.
don't even understand the whole message we just read in that one sentence.
Oh, that's kind of like, you know, if you put legal terminology in front of me, my mind goes off to the left, you know, and
right.
we aren't
exactly.
coming back either.
And what happens is the brain gets bored very easily, and when it doesn't understand something, it wants to go on to something that it does understand. That's one of the reasons why we seem to drift off into other areas. One of the things that Ron Dixon, in his book, The Gift of Dyslexia, discovered was that dyslexics have a roving point of attention. One of the techniques I use in the accelerated learning program that I teach is to utilize and capitalize on his discovery and teach people how to get their roving point of attention, which is exactly what happens when you drift off and lose your focus, into one place. It's really, really very simple. I teach a specific program called the Photo Reading Whole Mind Learning System. And in the Photo Reading Whole Mind Learning System, we utilize what is called the Tangerine Technique. Tangerine Technique is really a very simple technique to take your roving point of attention and put it in one specific area. So if, for instance, you were to picture in your hand a small tangerine, with your palm up, feel the tangerine, feel the weight of it, feel the outside coarseness of it, and so forth. Just picture it in your mind's eye. And then reach up and touch the back of the top of your head. Not the top of it, but simply the back of the top of your head. And then go straight up about 12 inches from that point and suspend that tangerine in the ear. Almost feel as if you have an invisible tether to the tangerine to your head. You can focus on the feeling that that tangerine is there. And as you begin to read your book, you understand that your attention span is going up to where the tangerine is. That prevents you from roaming around. Now, that comes from the early 1600s, about 1653 or so, with a Scottish theologian named Father John Duns Coates, who used to use a cap to help the children who needed extra work because they weren't able to focus on their work. And he created a cap for them to wear. Unfortunately, over a period of time, students have basically bought into the idea of teasing other students who needed extra help, and that's now become known as the dunce cap. But the idea behind it is a very solid way of focusing your attention in one spot and allowing your brain to absorb the material without losing your focus or of attention when you're studying or reading any particular material. So that's one of the things that we do in the Photo Reading Whole Mind Learning System, is we help you learn how to put your attention in one spot, and that allows the rest of your mind to absorb the material so that you can remember it better. One of the things that most people don't understand is that at some point or another, we have all become a wounded learner. Either a teacher who had good intentions and felt as though they would motivate us negatively by saying, if you don't learn how to read, you'll never amount to anything. Well, one of the beautiful parts about our mind is it's so powerful that when we have a belief system, our mind does everything possible for us to live up to what we believe. Unfortunately, if we believe what the teacher said, and we know that we couldn't read, so therefore we're never going to amount to anything, our mind helps us become that. What I believe is possible for all people, doesn't matter what their level of intelligence is, as long as they're a normal, conversant human being, we can transform those beliefs into one where we know that we have the ability to acquire new learning skills. Our brain is capable of one-time learning. Have you ever done anything one time and learned how to do it?
Probably. I mean, I can't think off the top of my head right now, but I mean, I'm sure if there was something I really, really, really wanted, you know, to learn, it probably did come to me as a snap, for lack of a better word.
Well, let's give you an example. Not something necessarily as complicated as a child beginning to learn how to tie their shoes, because that takes a little extra coordination. But You could also think of the first time that you learned how to open a door. You learned how to turn the knob one direction and then pull or push, and mm-hmm. the door moved. And after that time, you knew that if the door was in a certain position, that you would push
right.
it open. If it was in another position, you'd pull it open. It was something that you learned one time, and you learned it forever. Your brain
right.
is capable of learning that with just about anything that you do. Sometimes it takes a little more practice to perfect it, but you still mm-hmm. have the ability to learn it. We have several different types of intelligences we deal with on a regular basis. Howard Gardner created what's called the concept of the theory of multiple intelligences. We have verbal and linguistic intelligence, how we describe the world in the words that we use. We have our logical, mathematical intelligence that allows us to see different equations, or allows us to see the logic in certain things that we think about in a progressive manner. We have visual spatial, which is for when we're moving around, we have what we call
right.
our spatial intelligence to be able to tell whether we should walk close to the door or not, because we'd bump into it if we don't. We have musical and rhythmical intelligence that allows us to do certain things to the beat of a music or to a rhythm that we build within our body.
Mm-hmm.
We have the bodily kinesthetic intelligence, which allows us to perform, such as an athletic feat, and know
right.
exactly how we should be coordinated. We have a naturalist intelligence, that how we relate to the rest of the world in the space that we're in. We have intrapersonal intelligence, and that's how we relate to ourselves. A lot of times we are our own worst critic.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we need to do is we need to learn how to tame that voice. It's really very, very simple. When that little voice in the back of our head says something that's not positive to us, all we really need to do is stop,
mm-hmm.
take a moment and reflect, and just say simply, thank you for sharing. I'll take
mm-hmm.
it from here.
Yeah.
And that will take care of it. And then
okay.
after that, we have our interpersonal relationship in our intelligence and how we relate to other people. We have
yeah.
to be able to communicate with other people in either our words that we use, in the tonality of our voice, or in our body language. Body language is essentially 55% of our communication. Tonality
right.
of our voice represents 38%. And only 7% of our communication is represented in the words that we use. That's why
oh, really?
There are so many misunderstandings, because mm-hmm. our words have so many different meanings.
Yes.
And all meaning is context dependent.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn how to speak in the words that are appropriate for the context we're using them in. And then, of course,
right.
we have the existential intelligence, and that's how we relate to what I like to call the collective unconscious of the universe, how we relate to everything outside of our normal world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another one that just came into play by Daniel Goleman called emotional intelligence, and
mm-hmm.
that's being developed now, and it's really how we feel about ourselves and about how we feel with the other people in our lives. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And I also, I'm backtracking a little bit, but when you were talking about the photo reading,
yes.
okay, and how when you go through each word, it just kind of disrupts everything. And I was wondering if, when I was in typing class in high school, okay, the teacher taught us to not tear apart the words. That if we looked at the word as a whole and thought of it, instead of C-O-U-N-T-R-Y, just think of it as country, that you would type faster. Okay, so it's is the photo reading kind of like if you kind of look at the sentence as a whole?
That's a great question, and thank you for asking that question, because that helps me lead into what photo reading is all about. Photo reading
mm-hmm.
is helping you read the page, not
mm-hmm.
the sentence. And we teach you how to absorb the material and transform the words on a page into a thought, which goes into your unconscious mind, and then it's available for you on demand. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Everything we've ever seen, heard, or done in our lives is stored in our unconscious mind in a filing system.
Right.
So if I were to ask you to think of a number between 1 and 10, mm-hmm. most people pick 7. What was yours?
8.
Okay, so not why you picked the number 8, but rather ask yourself this question. Where was the number 8 before I asked you for it? Usually, it's a challenging question for people to answer because they don't have any idea where the filing system is. That's your unconscious mind at work. So when we teach you how to read at a page per second, it's about 25,000 words a minute. The average person reads about 100 to 300 words per minute.
Mm-hmm.
Speed reading, if you know anything about speed reading, is about 12 to 1,500 words a minute. You can actually get to about 5,000 words a minute if you get really good at speed reading. Photo reading is 25,000 words a minute.
Holy.
But when you look at a menu
of
in a restaurant, the menu is not the meal. It's simply a representation of the meal. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. When you get the representation of the meal on the menu, you get a sensation or an intuition that says, wow, that's something I think I might want to order, or that's not for me. But you know right away because you get an emotional attachment to it, because it's in color and it evokes emotion, and you're thinking about how it's going to taste.
Right.
What we do is teach you how to do the same thing with the words on a page all at the same time. And those words transform themselves into the thought the author was conveying to you by using the medium of the words he wrote, he or she wrote on the paper. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I know, I always, I always loved to read. And I would be involved in like 4 or 5 different books during the week. And actually, my mother got really aggravated with me. And she was like, you're not absorbing what you're reading. You're because you're reading too fast. And she got me some book. And I would always read ahead, but I would fold down the page like I wasn't quite there yet. But actually, that's an example of what you said of the teacher or, a higher figure saying, no, you have to do it this way when you don't really.
Right, because our minds are capable of so much more than we think we're capable of achieving. And so what happens is we put what we call learning blocks up to avoid the pain of having to go through and study really hard. Or how many people have waited until the very last minute to do a report for school that was due the next day? Right, exactly.
You know, it's almost like, and I'm the same way about whenever I'm doing crafting. Okay, it's like, it's almost like I do better under stress or a timeline when maybe I just trained myself to be like that.
Right. And what happens is when people wait till the last minute, one of the things that demonstrates is the awesome power of your mind to go into hyperactivity mode and to be able to get a huge job done in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
And that just demonstrates that we're capable of so much more. By having those learning blocks, by trying to avoid the pain of doing the paper, we actually put our brain in a situation where it has to perform at peak efficiency. And what happens is we get the job done. A lot of times we look back and we say, wow, I got so much more out of that because I really didn't have any choice. I had to get it done.
Right.
And so it shows you how the brain put all of the information that you knew on that subject together for you so that it would flow onto the paper and you could get your report done. One of the things that I really work with people to do when they begin an accelerated learning program is I think that we need to take a step back Right. And know that there is a tremendous amount of mental and emotional freedom in offering and receiving forgiveness mm-hmm. to the people that we may have had bad thoughts about, who were we considered to be bad teachers or mm-hmm. or bad positions of persons in position of authority.
Right.
Because when we can ask for their forgiveness for thinking that way about them mm-hmm. and then grant them forgiveness because they didn't know. It's almost as if when they were teaching us or they were trying to motivate us, the only mm-hmm. thing that they had to work with was a number two pencil. So everything mm-hmm. was in black and white.
Right.
Now, in today's world, we have crayons. We have color. And mm-hmm. the difference between black and white and color is huge. And so the new techniques that we have to work with, it's the same difference. It's a huge difference between learning the right accelerated learning techniques of today's mm-hmm. learning world compared to when we were taught as children. So offering forgiveness allows a lot of release of those negative mm-hmm. emotions and gets rid of those learning blocks, which improves our thinking so that we can receive pleasure from the learning that we get.
Right. Yeah, it's sometimes there's just so many negative connotations to things. And even, you know, like if you associate doing a certain task, you know, with something that was unpleasant, then you don't necessarily want to do it.
Right, and that's a form of anchoring. Because the task is attached to the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And the task triggers the negative emotion.
Right. That makes sense.
What we need to do is to break that link in mm-hmm. the connection so that mm-hmm. we can release those negative emotions and then attach a new emotion to that same task by doing it in a new and better and more efficient way. So that we get better mm-hmm. results from it. That's called empowerment.
Okay.
Empowerment
yep.
comes from being the author of your life's script, mm-hmm. to write your own life's work, produce mm-hmm. your own life's movie, and direct your own life's successes. There isn't anybody else in the world who's going to do it for you. You
True.
Really need to learn how to do it yourself. We all do in our own way. The nice part about it is we have so many new and improved and efficient techniques to overcome mm-hmm. the learning deficiencies of the past and to overcome the negative emotions that were associated with those tasks and to break free from that and become empowered. In NLP, we say that there is a difference between cause and mm-hmm. effect. In other words, when you're at cause, you are responsible for the results you get. When you're
right.
at effect, it means that you use reasons for not being successful. So we want everybody to learn how to become at cause and mm-hmm. to become empowered in the process through direct learning and look for opportunities for excellence rather than dwelling on the past, because the past is something that is unchangeable. The future
right.
is simply a promissory note. The only thing that's most important in your life is right now. And the best thing that you can do, or I can do, or anybody can do, is ask yourself this question. When you really need to get on with life,
mm-hmm.
it's very simple. Just ask yourself this question. What is the most important and valuable use of my time right now?
Mm-hmm.
And that helps overcome the inertia of being stagnant. It motivates the mind and the body to move forward in a direction towards your goals rather than dwelling on what you were thinking about from the past.
Okay.
It's whatever now, you think about, you become.
Right. What? Okay. What happens when? And this is my problem. Okay. Let's say. Okay. I'm at work, and I have this report to make all spiffy. Okay. And it's not like it's hard or anything, right? But you know, I just my attention gets diverted, and I'm like, oh, I can do this. This is only going to take a minute. And then that leads to, I can do this. This is only going to take 2 minutes, you know. And then, you know, so I end up getting diverted by like 8 or 10 minutes instead of just doing the report and getting it done with, and then going on to my little diversions, which, you know, you kind of almost like make the excuse, oh, this is only going to take a minute to do this.
Sounds like procrastination to me. And I have a revelation for you. Regarding procrastination, did you know that procrastinators never hesitate to procrastinate? They act on it right away. They act on it right away. And so what you want to do is, as you start out each day,
right,
have a direction to follow. Have your goals written down for the day. Have your tasks written down. When you put your goals and your tasks down on paper, they become real. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I know, but sometimes it's more fun to go running off to the left or the right and then come back to the middle.
Well, absolutely, that is true. Let me give you an example. Let's say we were on our way to Hawaii tomorrow.
Okay.
And you allowed the plane to divert off into that left or that right direction for about a half an hour before we got back on track. And then we got up another 600 miles or so, and you allowed the plane to divert to the left or right before we got back on track. Did you know that by the amount of time it took us to do that, we would have burnt up enough fuel so that we would never make it to our goal? And guess what happens when you don't make it to your goal in Hawaii?
You drop down into the sea and drown.
There you go. So it's self-sabotage.
Right.
By doing that. So the key is to be goal-driven each day and not allow yourself to go to sleep until you've achieved the goals you've set for the day. That's a motivator in itself, simply because you know you can't go to sleep until they get done.
Does this mean I can go to sleep before 1 a.m. in the morning?
If you would like to get your goals achieved before 1 o'clock in the morning, of course you can. The secret to setting the goals is very simple. Make them realistic, make them reachable, make them achievable, have a time limit. There's only really three keys to achieving any goal in life. It's really very, very simple. There are tons of programs out there on goal setting. However, there's only three things you need to do. Have you ever made a decision to do something, I mean really made the decision to do it, and you realize that all of the obstacles get out of your way because you knew you had to accomplish that?
Yes.
Okay, so the first step is make a decision.
All right.
Not wish or hope, but rather make a decision.
Okay.
Once you make the decision, that motivates you to get off of the inertia and to move forward. However, moving forward doesn't do you any good if you don't know where you're going. So you have to have a path to follow or a proven process to follow that will help you get to your goal. Would you agree with that?
I know, but I have that. It's just stuff gets in the way.
Well, that's called self-discipline. Or a lack thereof. And that's when you have to sit and ask yourself that same question I asked you before.
Yes.
To ask yourself, what's the most important and valuable use of my time right now?
Right.
And then the third step.
Yes.
Go ahead. Do you want to say something else?
No, go ahead.
Okay. The third step in achieving your goal is simply have a time limit.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to use the caveat here that time limit is not essential for all goals achievement. And the reason is because if you're looking to, say, find a new mate in life, you don't really want to put a time limit on that because you may force yourself into choosing the wrong person.
Correct.
Okay. So there are some things where you have to leave that open to finding the right person at the right time and so forth. However, for most of the things you have to achieve in your life on a daily basis, having a time limit for each of those is critical to their success, for achievement. And that allows you to get more done in half the amount of time.
Okay, yeah, I can go with that, you know.
Okay, so tomorrow morning when you wake up, what I'm going to suggest you do is, just to start off, simply write down 5 things you want to achieve for tomorrow.
Okay.
And make a commitment to yourself that you will not go to sleep tomorrow night until they're all achieved.
All right.
and see what happens.
Okay, five things. Okay, you hear that, people? Five things we are going to do tomorrow. Now, of course, you realize I have to use self-discipline to get myself up to go to work every day, so I do use self-discipline. Other than that, you know.
You have to get out of bed at some point.
This is true, but for us morning people, you know, it's just us. Excuse me, I need to correct myself. For us people who are not morning people.
Okay. So would you like me to help you with getting more energy during the day? Would you like some help with more energy during the day?
Yeah, specifically in the morning.
Okay. One of the things that I teach people to do is to sleep in certain segments of time. Because the body has a sleep cycle. And the cycle goes in 90-minute increments. So when you put the 90-minute increments together, you would sleep in, let's say, if you're really pressed for time, 4.5 hours would be the minimum that you want to have. Then the next increment would be 6 hours, then 7.5, and then 9. Now, have you ever woken up in the morning, found out that you had an extra 20 minutes, turned over, hit the snooze button on the alarm, and when you woke
up,
you were just worthless for the whole day?
Yeah, I actually felt crappier than the first time I actually woke up.
That's because you interrupted a sleep cycle. When you sleep in those cycles, you wake up energized, refreshed, and wide awake, and your body isn't looking for a rest period in the middle of the afternoon unless you haven't drunk enough water during the day. Water is essential to having energy in the afternoon.
Okay. Well, usually in the afternoon, I'm usually pumped. I don't usually have a problem with that.
Okay.
I get into work around 9:30, and nobody talks to me for an hour, during which time Diet Coke is consumed, and then you may talk to me. And God, I was going to ask you something else. Gray hair moment. It'll come back to me later. But the sleep increment thingy makes sense. And even on like Saturdays, you know, like you'll be like, oh, but I can sleep in for a couple more hours because I'm not working.
Sure.
You know, and then you get up maybe an hour or two later, and then outside of the old age thing, your body kind of, you know, feels a little sore, and of course probably some of that is due to drink more water, less Diet Coke.
Well, but I would have to agree with your assessment that more water and less Diet Coke is the absolute best change that you could make. Absolutely no question about it.
I know. What can I say? Diet Coke and salt are my two vices. And that's about it.
Well, but that is going to make a difference for you. And the more that you switch from Diet Coke to water, the more energy you're going to have, because you won't have any crashes from the caffeine and so forth. And your brain is going to be more on alert. And one of the things that I always suggest to people is, if you have trouble in the morning getting motivated, then write your goals out for the next day, the night before. Mm-hmm. That way, when you do wake up, you already have your goals in mind that you have to get achieved. You don't have to sit down through the process of formulating your goals for the day. And that helps you become more motivated to get started in your day, and to get more things accomplished, because you have something that you have to do.
Right, and I guess that's better than, I have a lot of long-term goals, so it would be nice to, I guess, in reaching the long-term goal, set some short-term ones.
Well, how do you eat an elephant? How do you eat an elephant?
How do I what?
Eat an elephant.
Okay, that's what I thought you said, but I had to ask.
The answer is, it's not a trick question. The answer is one bite at a time.
Okay.
Okay? So your big long-term goals can be broken down into smaller bite-sized goals that are easily achievable. And by achieving those small goals on a daily basis, you work your way up into achieving the larger long-term goals, because you're always working towards that attainment of those goals.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what, and oh, and before we run out of time, okay, I want to, since I don't know where Sue is, I don't see her on here, but let me ask you what, are you guys here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We've been jabbering on. Okay. Olivia, talk to Tom, and he's going to help you with like, you know, the whole presenting thing.
Hello, Olivia.
Hey. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
I've been expecting your call.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend's presentation tomorrow, and I have a problem with presenting in front of people, and I was wondering if you had any tips for like presentations, because I have like a, I'm not really good at public speaking.
Well, you weren't good in the past, and when you take control of that emotion, you become much better automatically. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, if you start talking about it as if it were a problem in your past that you've overcome, you automatically shift your thought process and your emotions into becoming empowered. Why would you let just simply the emotions of being in front of other people control you in what you do? Right?
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Doesn't it feel better already?
Yeah, it does feel better already.
Okay, so now what you do when you get up to speak in front of the people you need to speak in front of, first thing you want to do is prepare your mind. In Jose Silva's mind control system, he taught people how to say three numbers. The number three, relax your body. The number two, relax your mind. And number one, think of a place that makes you as calm and centered and balanced as you've ever been before in your life. Some people like a forest. Some people like being down by the ocean. Whatever it is for you, just think of that one spot. And as you move from the side of the stage to the front of the stage, remember that the people in the audience are there because they want to hear what you have to say. And instead of looking at them as a group of people, speak to each person as an individual. Look at one person at a time. Start off on the left of the first row, and then move your gaze to the person in the center, just like you're having a one-on-one conversation with me. And then move to the right side of the room and speak to that person. And then maybe go a row or two back and pick somebody who has a nice friendly face and speak to that person. And as you're up there speaking, just remember that they are there because they're interested in what you as a person have to say.
Okay.
And they respect you, otherwise they wouldn't be in the audience. Now, you might say, well, they have to be in because it's a school. Mm-hmm. That's true. In a case like this, it might be true. However, they don't have to pay attention to you. They could always look down at the floor. So you know if they're looking up at you and they have a smile on their face, they're interested in what you have to say. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
So now you have a room full of friends.
Yeah. I have one more question.
Sure.
And I have another class, too, on Friday that I'm going to have to present to, but I'm just a little more worried in that class because I don't know the people, and, like, the kids in that class are known to make fun of the kids that do the presentations, and I just don't want to be embarrassed and made fun of.
Okay. So do they make fun of you while you're doing the presentation?
Not me, like, the entire class as a whole, they, like, start to make jokes about the people that are up front.
Uh-huh, okay. And that is because they can smell fear. And when they smell fear, they're going to take advantage of it, just like any of the bullies in school do. Okay? One of the easiest ways to overcome a bully is to face right up to him. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Okay. So when you walk up on stage, take control of the stage. Show them that it doesn't matter what they say or what they do, it doesn't affect you. That's how you stand up to a bully.
Okay.
You go up and you do your presentation and you have confidence, supreme confidence, because you know your material and you know they don't have a chance of equaling what you're doing right then and there. Otherwise, they'd be up doing it themselves. They're probably all scared to even set forth 1 foot up on the stage, and you're already up there showing them how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Take control. Let your confidence just come out of you in everything that you say. You know how you, when I ask you your name, you say your name with confidence? If I asked you a mathematical equation, you might not have so much confidence.
Yeah.
So speak with the same confidence that you would use if you were saying your name.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thanks a lot.
Own the stage.
I will.
Okay, good luck and have fun.
Okay, thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome, Olivia.
Thanks.
Thank you. And it's true. And you know what? Some people might be there making fun of you, okay, like because you're up there first or before them at any rate. And they know that they have to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes if they can make you feel a little bit insecure and you falter a little, then when they get up on stage and they don't do that, it's easier for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so, and like you said, they're not making fun of you, but anyone who gets up there, which is actually a bit disrespectful. However, like Tom said, you can own the stage. You know, that just own that stage and you get up there and, you know, like you said, look them in the eye. Continue forward, you know. And the strange thing is that once you have their attention, they will be quiet.
Yeah.
You know. And it's a funny thing that happens up there.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I've been there, and sometimes it takes a little bit, but, you know, look at me here now, and Tom's like, I don't think you're very shy at all. Like, you weren't there in gym class in fifth grade.
Olivia's going to do fine, and the reason that she's going to do fine is because she knows that mm-hmm. whenever anybody tries or attempts to make fun of somebody else, it's because they're hiding their own fear in the process. And they're hoping that they can bring the other person down to their level if they can get to them. And that's the way you face up to bullies. You just you take ownership of the stage, make a friend with one face in that audience, and if you have to, just simply speak to that one friendly face during the time that you're up there. Everybody else will be quiet. Everybody else will be quiet, and you'll do just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, when you ignore a bully, sometimes they just go away because they get embarrassed.
Yeah.
This is true.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you're going to do just fine.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Here we go. But yeah, that's great for, you know, everybody who gets up there has a bit of stage fright. And a lot of times once you start talking, and I guess Tom, when you use the focus and when you start talking, you kind of let go of a bit of that fear?
Absolutely. The focus that you have for yourself is simply to get your message across to the audience. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there's an old saying, you can't please all the people all the time.
Right.
And I've had some people in the beginning of my career who would lash out or say things to me while I was in the middle of speaking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really very simple. A lot of times, depending upon the circumstances, I might say, look, you know, there's only one person that can speak at a time here because otherwise the message gets confused. And I'm pretty certain that everybody else in the audience is here to hear the message. However,
right.
If you think you can get up and do a better job at the message I'm here to convey, then mm-hmm. by all means, if you want to come right up, you're welcome to stand right up here with me. 99.9% of the time, mm-hmm. there isn't a person who's like that would have the mental courage to get up on stage and do the presentation. And mm-hmm. they just shut up and they shrivel down into their seat and they're quiet the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just that way because they are trying to bring you down to their level.
Right.
Or, you know, you always can look at it and you just think to yourself, I love the sound of jealousy. Because people who do those things are jealous of you being able to do them when they can't because they're so fearful themselves.
Mm-hmm. And it's true. And it's we're coming close to the time that Mr. Drew will be signing us off. So I want to thank you, Tom, so much. I love your mind mapping. Yes, please put it on the website. I think it's great. And so again, it's newtrainingstrategies.com.
Thanks for having me on the program, Joyce, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share some of these things with your listeners, and I look forward to the next time that you invite me on.
We got all year, dude.
Okay.
You're going to be back.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Peace out, folks. Have a great night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. No one else can feel it for you. Only